Lord, we thank you, we love you, we bless you, and now we want to get into your word, Lord, and we thank you that you've left the blueprint, you've left the map, Lord, you've left the road map, you've left the schematics for us to follow, to build a victorious life, to live an abundant life in you. You've left the instructions, Lord. We don't have to guess. We don't have to try and figure out how to live and how to think and how to give and how to act and where to go and what to say and what not to say. God, you've already told us, Lord. It's all in your word. Now speak to us through your word, Lord. So we continue our message of going through the wilderness, Lord. Make it plain. Let us see the parallels, Lord. Give us revelation knowledge, which will lead to a transformed life, Lord, so we can experience the abundant life in you that you've promised us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you don't lie, you can't fail, and you don't break your promises, Lord. You are the Lord God, and you change not. We can trust you, Lord. Your word is faithful and true. We can trust you, Lord, and we thank you for that. Bless your word. Bless your people to hear. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Family, as we continue the journey through the wilderness, and as we've journeyed so far, we've gone through the first four, lusting after evil things and idolatry. Take a look at verse 6. Paul says these were the examples. To the intent, we should not lust after evil things. What do you do in the wilderness? You lust after evil things as they lusted. And then neither be idolaters. You start worshiping other things. As some of them, as it's written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Verse 8, neither let us commit fornication, sleeping with anything. Worshiping, sleeping around and worshiping the creature more than the creator. As some of them committed and fell in one day 3,000 and 20,000. Neither let us tempt Christ. And we talked about that the last couple of weeks. Testing God. Understand that word test means that you're cantankerous. You're contentious. You're ready to fight and even kill while you're in the wilderness. As some of them also tempted or tested and were destroyed of serpents. We talked about that last week. Then we get to number 5. And it says, neither murmur, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Fifth thing that kept them in the wilderness, they murmured. You say, isn't that the same as the complaining and the cantankerous? No. The testing God, they murmured to the complaint to the point they wanted to kill somebody. They wanted to kill Moses, ready to stone him. They're so upset. That's the testing of God, that you just lose it. But then you get to the murmuring part. And this murmuring is different from the testing. This is the quiet complaining in your heart. The ungratefulness, not being thankful and not appreciating or expecting the abundant life that God has promised you and I. This is not a situational position. This is a heart condition. Let me say it again. It's not because of what you're going through. It's because your heart is not connected to God and is not thankful, so you complain. This is the lack of trust of God in your heart. This is the undervaluing your salvation. Family, if you understood what we were really saved from, I was talking with the youth this morning. We're saved from death, hell, sin, and the grave. If you really understood the magnitude of that, you wouldn't complain about anything. See, there we go. We don't even understand that. If you understood what God saved you from, you wouldn't complain. Death, hell, sin, you wouldn't complain about anything. You'd be so thankful walking around. Man, I've been saved. I've been rescued. And I couldn't do it myself. You wouldn't complain about your job. You wouldn't complain about anything. But when you undervalue your salvation, then ungratefulness sets in and unthankfulness sets in. And you complain. This complaining is This is the miracle of waking up in the morning and finding something to complain about immediately. What do you do in the wilderness? You wake up and find something to complain about immediately. And you stay there. This is the prodigal son's brother who complained about his brother's big sins while he stayed at home and murmured, grumbled, and consistently complains about everything and commits his itty bitty tiny sins. This is a complaining that kept him in the wilderness. You might go through the list and say, well, I'm not lusting after evil things. I'm not idolizing anything but God. I'm not fornicating. I'm not testing God. But you sit at home with your itty bitty tiny sins and you murmur and you complain. Pastor, make it plain. I'm glad you asked. Let's go to Exodus chapter 15. When you're there, say amen. Exodus 15. They just crossed over. I wanted to get mad at them, but I can't because watch and see the parallel. They just crossed over. Exodus, let's go to 15. Yeah, 15 and 1. There you go, Darius. 15, they just crossed over the Red Sea. And what do? They worship God. Somebody say amen. They sang. This is, according to scholars, this is the oldest recorded song in biblical history. But it's a familiar tune to us. All right? Verse 1, they sang. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel. They sang, you are Lord, you are King, you are the master of everything. They sang to the Lord. For he had triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God. I will prepare. I will praise him in habitation. My father's God. And I will exalt him. Now look at 15 and 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. And they went up. They went up out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness. Only 3 days and found no water. Verse 23, and when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the water of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. Took them 3 days singing their praise and worship songs, and 3 days later, they're complaining. But they did better than us, because it only takes us 3 minutes to go from praise and worship to offering. And we say, God, I love you, but I don't trust you. It took them 3 days to get there. It just takes us 3 minutes for Kathy to do the announcements, and it's offering time, and it's God, I don't trust you time. No. I want to get mad at them, but I can't. And you know we don't do games and tricks for money, but I'm telling you, it's the same. It's the most ancient recorded song, but it's a familiar tune. God, I love you, but I don't trust you. I want to get mad, but we do the same thing. I know I got some written down here. It took them 3 days to lose faith in God's ability. It takes us about 3 minutes. From ending worship to offering time to lose faith in God's ability. God, I love you, but I don't trust you. Verse 22. So Moses brought Israel. And you know what the word Israel means? God wins. Make a note of that. God prevails. Their name says God wins. So why are we living like losers? Why are we not trusting God as if God can fail? So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and Shur is a wall. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink of the water of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name was called Marah, which means bitter. What do you do when you find yourself surrounded by a wall and everything's bitter. What do you do when you get to that place called bitter? Remember, everything has a place. What place are you and I in now? What's the name of the place? Think about it. Be real. What is the name of the place that you are in now? Hopefully it's growing. The name of the place I'm in could be called growing. Somebody say amen. It could be grateful. The place I'm in is trusting. The place I'm in is called thankful. The place I'm in is called blessed. The place I'm in is called faithful. What is the name of the place that you're in? What name have you put in it? And what would your lifestyle say? Not just your mouth, but what does your lifestyle say about the place that you're in right now? Because we all have a place that we're in. How do you handle life when things get bitter? When life gets bitter, when your relationships get bitter, the job, the ministry, the church, your health, your mind, your soul, how do you handle the bitterness of life? Bitterness against your spouse, bitter against your parents or your children. Make a note, we talked about it last week. Remember, your problem isn't with people. Your problem is with God. Because regardless of whatever happens or what people have done to you, if you trust God and you trust the scripture tells you that God is going to work it together for your good and for his glory. So what are you bitter about? Your problem isn't with people. Your problem is with God. What do you mean, Pastor? Let's peek ahead. Let's look at Exodus 16 and 7. And Moses is trying to break this down to them. And we're going to back it up, but let's peek ahead. I didn't want to lift up the curtain and look behind door number one, but we got to peek ahead. Because you got to understand, we talked about it last week. Your problem is not with people. Your problem is with God. Because when this is right, everything else is right. So if you walking around and you murmuring and complaining, then that's, you know what? It's a sin. Because it says you don't trust God. Leave your finger there and look at Proverbs 6 and 16. Look at Proverbs. Leave your finger there at Exodus 16 and 7. And look at Proverbs 6 and 16. Talks about the seven things that the Lord hates. The sixth thing the Lord hates, yes, seven are an abomination. Go to the next one, Darius, the next scripture. Look at the first one. First one's a proud look. Family, pride, the root of complaining is pride. God hates that. Because I say, when I complain, I say, God, I could do this better than you. That's all I'm saying. That's why I'm complaining. Because I don't trust God. I don't trust you to work it out. So I'm complaining because, God, you don't even know what you're doing right now. And my arrogance and my pride allows me to complain and say I can do it better than God. So that's why it's not a problem with your spouse or with your kids or with your job or with your ministry or with your church. It's with you. Because you're complaining because you're smarter than God. That's the problem. Because you haven't humbled yourself, you haven't surrendered, and trust God 100%. God, I know you're working this out. What are we complaining about? What are you going to change by complaining? All you're doing is destroying your witness. Because you're complaining and it's part of your Jeep. You get in your Jeep and you pull up to the house and you start complaining. And it's a part of your pride and your arrogance. And it shows up in complaining. That's why they stayed in the wilderness. And that's why God hates it. And that's why they couldn't get out and they died on the road. Because they complained about every little thing. As opposed to trusting God for everything. And all things. All right. Look, thank you, Darius. Let's go back to Exodus 16 and 7. Let me make it plain. I love the word. I don't have to make stuff up. I just have to give you the word. And I'm giving it to you just like God gave it to me. And family, every time I'm going through this, Jerry and I, we talk about, I'm getting beat up. So I'm not beating you up. And I'm getting beat up too. I'm just, God, give it to them just like you gave it to me. Look at this. Verse 7. And in the morning, then you shall see the glory of the Lord, For he that heareth your murmurings against the Lord. Okay, let me start over. And in the morning, then you shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. Against who? Against the Lord. And what are we that you murmur against us? Man, what can I do? Why are you murmuring against me? But God hears. And make a note, that word here is Shammah. And we call God what? Jehovah Shammah, which was what? The Lord God that is there. God say, I'm there hearing your complaining. That's the same word, Shammah. I hear it. I hear you complaining. And you're not trusting me. Yeah, Jehovah Shammah, we love that. The Lord God that is there. He's right there hearing your complaining. Didn't think I'd get too many amens, but I'm going to keep going anyway. Verse 8. And Moses said, this shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full. For that the Lord heareth. Okay, and the Lord there is Jehovah heareth. Jehovah Shammah. The Lord here, he's there, he's attentive to your murmurings, which you murmur against him. See, your problem isn't with people, it's against God. Because you don't trust God. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. I ain't got to make this stuff up. I just got to give it to you. But look, think about this. They're in the wilderness. And you say, no, I ain't sleeping around. I'm worshiping. And then you sit at home. You're still in the wilderness. Family, I'm so passionate about this because people are going through life and they're missing everything that God has for them because of these five things. And it's no different then and now. And we can't fool ourselves thinking I got it all together. I don't need to work on this. I don't need to work. We do. Otherwise, you're going to stay right where you are. And you're not going to go anywhere. And you wonder why I'm not, God, why I'm not progressing? Because you're not trusting. And it's not against people. It's against the Lord. Verse 9. And Moses spake unto Aaron, say unto all the congregation. Not y'all. That was their congregation. Not my congregation. And Moses spoke unto Aaron, say unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your complaining. Verse 10, it came to pass, as Aaron spoke unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. Make a note, the glory of God can show up in your wilderness situation. Stop complaining. Make a note, the glory of God shows up in the wilderness. Stop complaining. Expect to see the glory of God even in your wilderness situation, in your successful, victorious situations. Expect to see the glory of God. Verse 11, the Lord spoke unto Moses. Make a note, God speaks in the wilderness. Look what God says. Oh, my gosh. I have heard the complaining. I am there for your complaining of the children of Israel, of the children that says God wins. Speak unto them, saying, at evening you shall eat flesh. In the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, that I am Jehovah, the existing one, your Trinity. God, there is Elohim, the Trinity. Just wrap our head around that. The existing one, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is there in the wilderness. So why are we complaining? Unless you want to sing your song like they did and then say, God, but I love you, but I don't trust you. God, I'll praise you, but I won't trust you. Come on, family, we got to do better than that. We got to do better than that. Let me see. I got some read this, Kathy, so I don't want to miss anything. My notes. Let me see. Let's see. It says, see, family, you're not murmuring against your boss. Oh, shucks. It does say that, huh? Okay. See, family, you're not murmuring against your boss. You're murmuring against God. Because every time you and I, complain. We tell God he didn't know what he was doing when he opened the door for me to get this job, the job I was praying for, mind you. Now the job I complain about to anyone that will listen, the job that God blessed me with, that I prayed for, the one I complain about and don't even pay my tithes to, I complain about and say, God, you didn't know what you was doing. When I prayed, you opened the door. Now I'm there. I'm complaining every day. The spouse I prayed so desperately for, now I complain about constantly. The children I prayed that one day I would have now become a source of contention and frustration, worry and concern. And why? Because I don't trust God with them. I think I can do a better job of leading them than God and the Holy Spirit can. Let me say that again, because I don't know if y'all heard that, because I didn't hear one amen. Because I don't trust God with them. I think I can do a better job of leading them than God and the Holy Spirit can. God can get glory out of the wilderness situation if we trust him 100%. When life gets bitter, run to God. When life gets bitter, run to God. Don't complain about man or mankind. Don't complain about the flawed representation. Run to God that does not change and does not fail. I'm trying, folks. I'm trying. Let's go back to 15 and 24. 3 days, and the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" See, they complained against Moses. Moses tried to tell them, "Your problem's not with me. Your problem is with God." 3 days after you sing in your praise and worship song. So we sing on Sunday. I told you it only takes 3 minutes. I'll give you 3 days, though. So what's that? That's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. That's why you need to come to Bible study. You already know that because you didn't lost it by then. At least you get a little boost on Wednesday. Then that's Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Then you need to be there you go. Somebody say amen. All right. It gets better. They blame Moses. Okay, so how do you handle it when people murmur against you and declare that it's your fault? Hear what I'm saying, family. This is where my old pastor, Dr. Billy, you say this is where the rubber meets the road. It's tough, family. How do you handle it when people murmur against you and declare that it's your fault? That where I am in my life is your fault. How do you handle the blame and the shame and the peer pressure and the broken heart and the broken dreams? Parents, kids need someone to blame and it falls on your shoulders. It is your fault. That your kids are where they are and they'll let you know it. But kids, before you get too high and mighty, most parents agree that we would be a lot further off and a lot further ahead in life if it wasn't for our kids. Somebody say amen. Just kidding. Okay, now I'm just kidding. Most parents agree, man, I'd be a lot further ahead in life if it wasn't for these kids of mine. Children, it's your fault. And everyone in this church knows that if Pastor did a better job of bringing the word, their spiritual lives would be so much better. Pastor, it's your fault that I am where I am spiritually. Not mine, it's yours. How do you handle the blame and the shame and the peer pressure? We have Moses in verse 25. Somebody say amen. He cried out to the Lord. Cried unto the Lord. And the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he tested them. So what you already have is what makes things sweet. So you got to see the connection. He had a tree. And when we focus on that tree that looked like a cross, that was bitter for Christ, but made salvation sweet for us, then we shouldn't complain about nothing. I'm going to say amen for you. They had a tree. We have a tree. Bitter for Christ. Sweet for us. Thank you, Lord. So what am I complaining? But if we undervalue salvation, we'll complain about stuff that don't save nobody. That don't get nobody saved. When we undervalue our salvation. So cry out to God and pray for discernment. Remember, we found out last week that the same people that complain about us are the same people that God's called us to minister to. Mm-hmm. So God, show me what you have for the people you called me to minister to. Show me the scripture. Show me the hug. When is it time to hug? Show me when to call them. When do I say hello? When do I listen? When do I speak that word that's fitly spoken? It's like apples of silver and pitchers of gold. Is it an object? Is it a tree? Is it a meal? Is it a walk? Is it a talk? Do I give them a ride? Is it a dollar? Do I give them is it a CD? Is it a book? Is it a church visit? God, show me, give me discernment. What do I already have that's for the people that's complaining that you call me to minister to? Give me discernment, Lord, because you've called me to minister to them, and what they need, you've already given it to me. Give me discernment to see it. I have make a note, which I already said, but I'll read it because it deserves repeating. The tree made the bitter water sweet, and the tree of Christ makes our affliction sweet. You can deal with it because Christ already died for it and overcame it.
Yes.
Think of that bitter tree and the redeeming work Christ did for us on the tree when he was nailed to it. But look at this revelation in verse 25. I almost skipped over it. Look at verse 25 again. He said he cried unto them. That's the first thing. What do you do when it's bitter? You cry unto God. When life gets bitter, run to God. When people are blaming you for everything, run to God. Don't run from God. Run to God. Because God's given you something to minister to them. That's why you're in relationship with them, because you have something for them. Family, you have to understand there are people that you're going to run across that pastor will never see. There's people I'll run across that you won't run into. But God's already given what you have for them to minister to them. That's why they're in your path. That's why they're in your family. That's why they're on your job. You go to your job complaining about them, but God then set somebody there for you to minister to, and you already have, it's a scripture, it's a book, it's a hug, it's a hello, it's a smile, it's something that you have that's going to lead them to Christ. But you complaining, you're going to miss it. And you're going to stay in the wilderness. The family members, we all love our family. Oh, thank you. Jerry loves his family, right? We all love our family. We get what we get. Our first grade teacher, Miss, what was her name? One of the kids' teachers. You get what you get, and you don't throw a fit. That's your family. You get what you get, and you don't throw a fit. God said you got to deal with that. Let me help you deal with it. So look, he cried out to God, and this is the part I almost missed. And the Lord showed him a tree. And when he had cast it into the waters, the water were made sweet. We could stop right there, but we didn't. Uh-oh. So now you got the sweet water, but it didn't stop just at the sweet water of life. We know we have sweet water that flows, the living water. It didn't stop there. There he made for them, he gave them a statute, which is a prescription, and an ordinance, which is a regulation, and there he tested them. So you just can't get your sweet water. You just can't get your blessing and get up and go. Mm-hmm. Here's a revelation. God provides more than just water. God's provide true life. So God is trying to provide true life. Look what he gave. In addition to giving them something sweet, God gave them a prescription. When I looked up the word statue, God gave them a prescription, a boundary, a decision, a judgment, a privilege, a test, an adventure, a proving ground. Here's Revelation. God provides more than just living water. God provides true life. Yeah, y'all still not getting it. Okay. All right. See, I know I'd have to break it down for you. People just want the blessing and not the prescription. Mm-hmm. People want the medicine and not the preventive health talk. Just give me the medicine. I don't need you to tell me how to live. Just give me the medicine so I can get better. But if you live like this, you wouldn't have to take the medicine. People just want the medicine. They don't want the preventive health talk. We actually want the paycheck without the job. Yeah, I don't even have to show of hands. How many of you, do I have to ask you, if you could just get the check without going to work, how many be like, amen? Now, it was nice when I said this. We want the companionship without the marriage. I was nice with that. We want the cute kids without the pregnancy and definitely not the labor pains. We definitely don't want the late night feeding and dirty diapers. Somebody say amen. See, God didn't just give them the sweet water. He gave them true life. He gave them a blueprint on how to live. Family, we got to be careful because we want God on our terms. God, just show up and deliver me and bless me without the relationship or the guidelines. Okay, I did go. I might have crossed the line. Y'all can tell me later. Tracy already said don't do it. People want the sugar daddy and not a heavenly father. Just be good to me. Don't come with any strings attached. Remember, this all takes place in the wilderness. You're looking for a sugar daddy in the wilderness as opposed to a heavenly father. John said that leads to sugar babies. We know that you eat candy all the time, John. We got you. That's good, though. That's good. Let's finish this up. Look at what God does. Look at, did I say, remember, all this takes place in the wilderness? Okay. Don't be looking for the wrong thing in the wilderness. Run to God. But look, and then God makes it plain in 26. And God said, if, remember, family, our walk, our victorious Christian life comes down to two letters, IF. If, it's always conditional. If you will diligently, which means with your whole heart, listen to the voice of the Lord your God, Jehovah, the existing one, the Trinity, and do. So write down, you got to listen and you got to do. Uh-oh, here's the deal breaker right here. That which is right in his sight. And then give an ear to his prescriptions. See, that's the game changer. Because it has to be right in the sight of God. See, because society say do whatever you want to do. Oh, man, you're not hurting nobody. Man, everybody's doing it, so it's okay. But he said, you got to do what's right. And who's our standard? Make a note, those of you taking notes. Our standard is Jesus Christ, and that's that. Talking with the youth this morning. Our standard is Jesus Christ, and that's that. We have to do what's right in his sight, and he put it all right here in the word. That's why we got to be flowing in the word. Otherwise, we don't know what's right in the sight of God, and we start listening to idiots that think they're smarter than the Bible at 40 years old and 50 years old. So you're smart. I told you. So you're smarter than the Bible. I just want to hear him say it. So you're smarter than the Bible, huh? Just please say it. I just want the arrogance. You can imagine, but that's the game changer. We got to do what's right in the sight of God. And then we'll give ear to his commandments, his prescriptions, and keep all his statute, his ordinance. So I will put none of these diseases upon you, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. And he says, for I am Jehovah Rapha. That's what heal it right there means. Rapha, the Lord God that heals. Isn't that something? He tells you the other part. He's Jehovah Shammah, the Lord God that hears, the Lord God that's there. They say, I'm the same God that heals. Whatever you need, he's there in the wilderness. But we got to trust him. Got to trust him. And it's a note here says, and a rebellious Christian can expect the same result as a rebellious Egyptian. Rebellious believer can expect the same as the rebellious Egyptians got. And we know we're under grace, so somebody say amen and thank God for the grace. But I wouldn't push it. All right, so let me wrap this up. And they came to Elim. And they came to Elim, where was 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees. Are you kidding me? 70, they've been helping with this. That's 70 palm trees. And they encamped there by the water. So make a note that God provides an oasis in the wilderness. Elim meaning rest. God provides rest in the wilderness. God gives us an oasis in the wilderness. But here's what God wants to do for us. It says God gives us an oasis in the midst of the wilderness. God gave them rest by the water. However, God wants to give us rest in the living water, which is Jesus Christ. God wants to give us rest in the living water. So stop complaining and start praying. And that's where we'll stop for today. So let's bow our heads and we'll go ahead and close it out. And family, I have to be honest, I didn't think complaining was such a big deal. Seriously, I didn't, Sister Kathy, I didn't think complaining was such a big deal until I started studying this. And I'm realizing, man, I need to be so thankful and so grateful in all things. God has really challenged my heart. And I think that I am somewhat of a thankful person, but I'm going to take it to another level. Amen. So, Lord, we see that you're a God of detail, specifics, and order. And complaining is a big deal, God. It shows a lack of faith, a lack of trust, a lack of resting in you. You've given us the living water where we can rest in you. You've saved us from death, hell, sin, and the grave. So what are we complaining about?
All right.
God, you've done all the heavy lifting.
Yes.
All we got to do is walk and make disciples and share Christ and run to you and cry out to you when we're in that bitter place. And even when we get to the better place, we still got to run to you and cry out to you. So we thank you, Lord, for not letting us to be comfortable with complaining in 2019, but going to another level and trusting and loving Our problem isn't with people. Our problem is with you, Lord. God, forgive us for complaining against you, thinking we're talking about our boss or somebody else, God, but we're really, as Christians, Lord, born again believers, blood bought Christians, we're not complaining against anybody but you. So God, forgive us of our sins, of complaining, of pessimism, of cynicism, scoffing. God, let us rise to another level and trust and believe and be grateful and be thankful and be joyous and be ready to give an answer to anyone who asks about the hope that lies within us. It comes from Jesus Christ rescuing us from death, hell, sin, and the grave. We love you, Lord, and we thank you and we bless you. Thank you that your word says we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's no condemnation, Lord. We're not feeling condemned about complaining. We confess and forsaking it, and we will do better. And when we find ourselves in that bitter place, we're running to you. And we thank you, Lord, that while we were yet sinners, you died for us. That's enough to be grateful for the rest of our life. Lord, I pray maybe someone's here and say, Pastor, I've never accepted Christ. You talked about the cross and the sweetness of it, but I've never experienced the sweetness because I haven't accepted Christ. If that's you, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, elevate your hand. Maybe you're here and you want to rededicate your life. You've kind of gotten away and been complaining, and you realize now that God, I got to tighten my game up, and it's not the people, it's me and you. If that's you, you don't have to elevate your hand. You just elevate your heart. It's a heart-to-heart connection with God. God sees your heart. God sees the repentance and the turnaround in your heart for complaining about any and everything. Don't allow that to keep you in the wilderness. Confess and forsake it and run to God. Maybe you're hearing you say, Pastor, I've been visiting, but I haven't made it official, and I want to unite with South Bay Abundant Life Church. As you can see, we're a family. We love God. We love God's word. And we're not going to game and trick and gimmick you in nothing. If that's you, elevate your hand. We'd love to have you as part of our family. Lord, we love you. We thank you for the challenge, Lord. God, we're going to evaluate ourselves in 3 days to see what we're complaining about on Wednesday. Amen. It is laughable. So, God, forgive us, Lord, in advance of our complaining. Bring it to our mind. And then, God, that person who you've put in our path, that you've called us to minister to, that you've already equipped us with the tools to minister to them, bring them by this week, Lord. Let us share the gospel, the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Send them our way this week and bring it to our remembrance. This is a person I sent for you to minister to. Send them our way, Lord, and let us be in a mindset and position of gratefulness and thankfulness, grace, mercy, and love to receive them. And then give us discernment to give them exactly what you have for them, Lord. And we thank you in advance and we bless you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand to your feet. Lord, we thank you that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. In Jesus' name, amen. Give somebody a hug and you are dismissed.